With not a ray of light, we're tossed and driven on. No human help in sight, but there is one in Him who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problems. Just go to Him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we
remain standing.
All right, if you would take your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Numbers, chapter number 16. Numbers chapter 16. And I actually wanted to do more of this. Our theme for this year, for 2019, is the Word. We want to be in the Word. We want to learn what the Word has to tell us about how to live life, about God, everything that we need to know in the Word. And so I thought today that I would do something a little different than I've done before, and that was to have a little bit of a trivia question. All right? And I was so confident in this trivia question that nobody knows it that I actually was saying, you know, I'm going to give a $100 bill. And then I started thinking about our church. I'm like, you know what? Our church is actually pretty smart. And these guys actually do read their Bibles. They're kind of in it quite a bit. So that's kind of a lot of money. And I think I'm going to lose that money. So I said, you know what? $20. $20 for this trivia question. And I started thinking about it some more. And I have a $5 gift card here for the winner of this trivia question. But this one is tricky. And so the question this morning, before we get to our text, is in the Bible, we're going to go to the Old Testament, we're in Numbers chapter 16, there's kind of a lot of fascinating and sometimes obscure stories. And so if you don't read through it, there's some that can kind of, you miss. And there's a story in the Bible where a man broke all 10 commandments in one day. Who knows who it is? Who's got it? You got Moses, all right? Moses! Broke all 10 commandments in one day and lived to tell about it. He actually, on his way down from Mount Sinai, saw the worshiping of the children of Israel, and he took the 10 commandments, the 10 tablets, and he threw them down, and they broke. All right, so there you go. It's a little bit of a trick question. Can we get this to this lady back here? You guys thought you were so smart. Oops, sorry. You want to read that story? That one's found in Exodus chapter 32. But today we're going to be in Numbers chapter number 16. And I'm reading through the Old Testament right now. I'm trying to read through the Bible in one year. and in the Old Testament currently. And I think the stories in all of the Bible are fascinating, but in the Old Testament, they're particularly interesting. And I want to give you a little bit of the backstory on our text before we get to it, because in Numbers chapter 16, in the first part of the verse, the Bible tells us there's three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, along with 250 other men, princes of Egypt, who rose up against Moses. And they basically said to Moses, "You're taking too much upon yourself." Basically, the problem that they have with Moses is that we are men of renown. We are men who are of well standing amongst the congregation, and we're famous in the congregation, and we should have a role in leading this congregation in addition to you. Who are you, basically, to lead this congregation? Is what they said to Moses. And Moses, immediately when he heard it, fell down on his face and began to cry out to God, because he realized what they had done. They had basically told God that he didn't know what he was doing in putting Moses in charge. And so they accused Moses of taking too much responsibility upon themselves, not understanding, again, that it was Moses that was there by God's authority, and God gave him his authority. And so, long story short, God swallowed up these men in the earth, and they died. All right, so that's the story. It's, again, fascinating story. These 250 men and Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were swallowed up by the earth. This has never happened before, never happened again. And there's a new thing that God did to show that Moses was indeed his man. And so this had just happened, and our story picks up in verse number 41 of Numbers chapter 16. Here's what the Bible says. "And Moses said, wherefore now do ye trespass the commandment of the Lord, but ye shall prosper." Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. 41, here we go. "But on the morrow," so this is the day after everything that just happened, "all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord had appeared." So basically what's happening here is they decided to do the exact same thing that Dathan and Abiram and Korah did. And similar result. Verse 43, "And Moses and Aaron came before the congregation, before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." God's not happy here. "And they fell upon their faces, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, and put incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, and the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran in the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put incense and made atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." We'll pray and have a short message for you from this passage of Scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I do thank you for this time. I pray that you'd speak to hearts. I pray that you'd help us see our responsibility as believers to stand between the living and the dead with the message of Jesus. Help us, God, to be bold. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be responsible. This is our job. I pray that you bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. One of the things I find interesting about the Old Testament is just how much the people in the Old Testament are like us. I know that we read that and we say, what are you doing? You're doing the exact same thing, and you're going to get in trouble just like they got in trouble. Like, what are you thinking? And oftentimes when you read the Old Testament, you kind of have that mindset. What are you doing? You didn't learn your lesson. You didn't learn from other people. What? And when I see that, I think, man, that looks like me. That looks like us. When we live our lives and we make mistakes and we do things that we shouldn't be doing, and we know they're not the right things to do, and we find ourselves doing them anyway. Again, the children of Israel kind of remind me a lot of modern-day, everyday Christians. Now, we're not under the Old Testament. We don't have time to go into the difference between the covenants and the new covenant, which is in Jesus' blood. But there are some incredible similarities, and there are some things in the Old Testament that bring to light some things that we live in the New Testament. One of the things I noticed from this particular passage of Scripture is that they did struggle with sin. The children of Israel in the wilderness were just removed from being delivered from Egypt. Could you imagine being in that day when God pours out 10 plagues on the nation of Egypt by the word of Moses, your leader. They're unbelievable plagues, and that's not enough. They're cast out of Egypt. Pharaoh says, get out of here. You're going to destroy our nation. Then he has a change of heart. He says, no, wait a minute. These guys were working for us. They're just winning our labor. And so he's like, let's go after them. And they're stuck at the Red Sea, literally between a rock and a hard place. And the nation of the Egyptian armies are coming behind them, and they're trapped. And so what does God do? He parts the Red Sea. And so they walk across the Red Sea with waters on either side on dry ground. And they get to the other side, and the Egyptian army, which was an ingenious strategic move, right? Let's just follow after them, right? Because these walls of God, this is a supernatural thing. Let's go. And so the walls of water fall in on them, and God destroys the Egyptian army in one day. Unbelievable. And then they get into the wilderness, and they're hungry, and they don't have any food, so God decides to feed them from heaven with something called manna. Every single day, a little extra on Friday, nothing on Saturday, because it's the Sabbath. Every day. And then they get to Mount Sinai. And Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. And by the way, throughout this whole process, they're kind of griping and complaining throughout the whole thing. But they get to Mount Sinai. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. He's there for 40 days. Lightning, thunder, all this crazy stuff going on. They're like, Moses is dead. That's what they just say. Moses is dead. So, here's what we're going to do. Let's build a golden calf and worship it as the reason why we were brought out of Egypt. Like, what? And then Moses, of course, famously breaks all 10 commandments in one single day. But we look at that, we're like, crazy. What are you guys thinking? But the truth is we're not much better. Oftentimes we can look at the beautiful creation of God, the amazing handiwork of God, the stars that litter the sky, the beautiful things that we are also, the rainbows. I've seen a rainbow every day for the last 2 weeks. And as human beings, we oftentimes look at that and say, wow. Look at the result of evolution. Ugh. And we're no better than building a golden calf. Or we can see how God's hand is working, how God is providentially working in our lives and moving things for His will and for His glory. And we go, wow, what luck! Ugh. We do it all the time. The truth is we're all sinners. Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're no different than the children of Israel when it comes to our sin. We're sinners. We disobey God, just like they disobeyed God. But the second thing I notice in the children of Israel in our lives is there's devastating consequences for sin. No one, if they knew the consequence, if they knew the price that we would have to pay for sin, would ever dare touch it. We don't realize how devastating it is. We don't understand. I mean, really, you think if these guys of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram knew that the earth would swallow them up whole before they did what they did, would have done what they did, you'd be crazy. They'd be crazy. They thought they were actually doing a righteous thing, but it was sin. There's a wage for sin. There's a price for sin. The price for sin is death. Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And even as Christians, we don't realize the powerful and devastating impact sin has in our lives and in the lives of those that we love. It's devastating. It's tragic. It's brutal. We see it all around us. In our text, this is clearly seen. People are literally dying, and they are dying fast. Then it's serious. The truth is, as I'm excited about revival, I'm praying for revival, but we on Kauai have a sin problem. There's no doubt about it. We have a sin problem. And it's really, really bad. And it's destroying us. It's amazing to me the things that we see every day, the people's lives that we're willing to put at risk for sin. Sin is when we disobey the commandments of God, and sadly, even Christians are in bondage to sin today. And there's a thing called grace, and we're grateful for it. We love grace, but if we use the grace of God for what the Bible defines as lasciviousness, we're going to end up in deep trouble. You see, we have a sin problem, and it doesn't matter if our friends are doing it. I think that's one thing that we all look at and say, well, my friends, they're doing it, and they're involved in it, and say, okay, well, then all right, right? Or it doesn't matter if your coworkers are doing it, and they say, well, our coworkers are doing it, it's sin, and it has devastating consequences, and it doesn't even matter if other Christians are doing it, because that's becoming the thing. Now, well, those Christians are doing it. That doesn't make it right. Sin is sin, and sin has devastating consequences when we disobey God's word. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. For the Old Testament children of Israel, for us today. Death. And we see that everywhere, don't we? But you know what I think is amazing about God? There's always, always a cure. There's always a remedy. There's always an answer. Back to our text, in verse 46, and Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran. Listen to that. He ran in the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Moses realizes what's happening. He realizes what's at stake, and he tells Aaron, go as fast as you can. Act fast and make atonement for the people. The word atonement means to make a payment. We realize that Aaron ran with atonement. He stood between the dead and the living. And the Bible says that the plague was stayed. It stopped. It ended. And today, God has given us atonement through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the cure for sin. Jesus is the one that can stop the plague. Jesus is the one that stands and he says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the one that is the cure. But here's the deal. We're like Aaron. We have to get it to the people that need it. Jesus, yes, has died, but he's called on us as believers to be the messengers, to be the vessels by which that message is proclaimed. And that's the way it is. Again, there's many things that God could have done. He could have, you know, but he's ordained, he's chosen, he has put us in that position. The truth is today, and I say this with complete confidence, is that our island can be saved. And beyond. The other islands and our world can be saved through Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, we read this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love this verse because whosoever means anybody. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what kind of money you have in the bank account or what kind of heritage you have or bloodline you have. Anybody, whosoever, anybody can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. But then the verse continues, and I want to continue with this verse. It says, how shall they call in him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I want to challenge you with this verse not to be confused by the word preacher. Because we oftentimes equate preacher to pastor. Preacher is anybody who proclaims the truth. It can be you. You can be that preacher. You can be that person that tells the good news to your coworker. You can be the person that tells the good news to your neighbor. That can be you, and that should be you. It can be said of your feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So you and I as believers must stand truthfully between the living and the dead with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to tell them. That's our responsibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry to tell the gospel, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor hiding the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man conscious in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's the message. And I close with this question. Does the good news of Jesus Christ stop with you? Is your gospel hid to the lost? Do your coworkers know? Do they know you're a believer? It doesn't have to be that way if it is. As I said, on Thursday night here at church, 7 o'clock, come. Everybody's welcome. Anybody's welcome. It's free. And learn how to share your faith. So I feel nervous about that. I get that. I'm that type too. I'm not somebody who just loves to run up to people and just talk to them. Right? I'm naturally introverted. And so still I need to tell the truth. Still I need to give the gospel. I have to learn how to do that. Trust me when I tell you that God wants you to share the gospel with the lost. Every one of us. And I know at this point we like to make excuses for ourselves. I'm too busy. Then you're too busy. I've got this going on. Then stop it. It's for 3 weeks. Just cancel it. Oh, just come. Just be involved. Just share the gospel. So the final question is this. Kauai Baptist Church, will you stand between the living and the dead with the message of Jesus? Will you get involved? Will you put yourself on the line? Don't be too busy. Don't be too shy. Don't miss your opportunity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. I thank you for what we heard today. Thank you for the challenge that we have been given the ministry of telling others about you. And God, we can get so busy, so wrapped up in the things that we have to do and the people we have to see and all the different things that we sometimes forget. This is what it's all about. And I do believe there's a darkness that's invaded our island. There's an evil. And we need to stand against it. And we need to preach the gospel of Jesus. We need to make a difference, all of us together, working together. This is a big deal. This is a big fight. So God, I pray that you help us to realize what's at stake, to learn the information that we need to learn, to tell others about you. And God, my prayer is if there's somebody here today, anybody here today, that doesn't know for sure that their sins are forgiven, that Jesus is their Savior. As the mayor said, if you'd ask them, are you born again? I'm not sure what that means. And God, if there's somebody here like that today, God, I pray that they would not leave here without knowing for sure that their sins are forgiven, that Jesus is their Savior, that they have a personal relationship with him. With head bowed and eye closed, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. That's why I have head bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around, just for sake of privacy. But if you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm born again.
I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. If you would like me to pray for you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to see your hand. If you'd raise your hand up, I'll see it. You can put it right back down. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's watching. But it's church, and we can be honest about this stuff. But if you're here, say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure Jesus is my Savior. Would you put your hand up? I see that hand there. I see that hand there. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Nothing like that. Is there anybody like that here? Say, I'm with those two. I need to know. Would you pray for me? If you'd slip your hand up or just let me see it, I'll see it. Is there anybody in the overflow? I'm looking out there. Anybody out there? Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? And then one last time here in the auditorium, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm born again. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that here today? Heavenly Father, God, I do pray for these two that have raised their hand. Lord, I pray that today they would know for sure that they're saved, that today they would be born again and have that personal relationship with you. And God, I pray for the rest of us here who are believers, who know that we've been born again, who know that we've been saved, and know that we've been redeemed. God, help us to tell others. We do not well if we don't tell others. Help us to be bold about that. Help us to be educated and know what to say so that we might make a difference. We thank you for this time. I just pray that you bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to go to hymn number 10. The hymn is called, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Hymn number 10.
Behind.